fucking shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
My fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof it the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and, you know, you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not lies. Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jim McGinn in his life.
John Duggan here with you, as always, on the Saturday afternoon, starting off 2020 with a bit of Gaelic football. A 9-week festival of inter-county football getting underway on January the 25th with the commencement of the Allianz Football Leagues. They'll run all the way to the four divisional finals at Croke Park on the weekend of March 28th and 29th, featuring 116 games across the four divisions in the campaign, which will mark the 28th year, this is really long, of Allianz's partnership with the GAA as sponsor of the Allianz Leagues, world-renowned at this stage, making it one of the longest-running sponsorships in Irish sport. Now, joining me live in studio, privileged to have with us today, Mark Collins of Cork and Roscommon's All-Star nominee, Conor Cox. Lads, how are we doing?
Good, John. Thanks for having us.
You're already playing Gaelic football in the second week of January. What's this all about? You're in the McGrath Cup. You're in the FBD League. Did you get any break over Christmas at all?
Yeah, we got a week off over Christmas. All right, but pre-season is nearly coming to an end now, so looking forward to getting down to the business end and the start of the league.
Are these competitions worth your while in the start of the year, or would you just prefer a break and just go straight into the Allianz League?
No, I personally think they're good. I suppose the more games you play, the more chance you get to improve your own game and, I suppose, improve the team game. And inevitably, it just gives the management, I suppose, a chance to look at new players coming through, to blood them through.
So, Conor, you had a pretty Indian summer last summer. You had that brilliant Connacht run. You beat Mayo and then you had that great day against Galway in the Connacht final. 5 points in that match in the rain. I remember speaking to Shane Lowry before Christmas and he told us about the Open and he was in the zone at Portrush. Did you really feel in the zone that day?
Yeah, I suppose in a Connacht final you have to be in the zone. I suppose, look, it went well for us on the day. We got the win, but look, it was a very tight game. It could have gone either way, really. We're just delighted that it went our way.
Would you have aspirations of a semi-final this year in the All-Ireland Series?
I suppose, look, every team who sets out in 2020 will just want to improve on their last campaign, so we would have got to the Super 8, so I suppose inevitably that will lead to, if we are to improve this year, it would be an All-Ireland semi-final stage. But look, we're under no illusion of how difficult it will be to get there. We're starting off in the Allianz Leagues in Division 2, and I mean every game in that division is competitive. The last few years, there's been a kick of a ball between a team maybe getting relegated and getting promoted, so we'll just have to start from scratch really this year and see how far we can get.
And with Tier 2 now, don't get relegated is the key for you, and for you, Mark, get promoted.
Yeah, that is a big incentive now this year, yeah. All right, with the way Sam is working out. If you're not promoted out of Division 3, or if you don't make your provisional final, you end up down in Tier 2. So, you know, that will be one of the aims first and foremost, is, you know, get off to a good start in the National League and hopefully get out of that Tier 2 competition.
But I'm looking at Cork, I'm seeing an under-20 All-Ireland last year, I'm seeing you're pushing Kerry to 3 points in Munster. You started really well against the Dubs. It didn't work out really in the end of the day, but you played each other in the Super 8s. Like Conor, do you feel, you know what, we can be in the last four of the All-Ireland here?
Yeah, I suppose there's a small bit of a feel-good factor coming out of Cork at the moment. The Cork football scene, you know, minor and under-20 All-Ireland wins last year. So hopefully we can continue that on at senior level. You know, we made it to the Super 8s last year as well. Unfortunately, we didn't win any of the three games. So, you know, we know we've an awful lot to work on, and we've tried to be doing that during pre-season, and hopefully that'll show come the league.
You were talking there, Conor, about playing matches and having many matches. If I was the mayor of Ireland, which I'm not, but if I was the mayor of the GAA for a day, I would change the whole thing up. I would play the provinces in the spring and still have your provincial championships and that. And then I would have the league-style championship in the summer. You guys are club players. You're with Listowel. You're with Castlehaven, Mark and Conor. Would you prefer to see the Allianz Leagues in the summer?
I think as a player, you just like playing games. So whether the league is in the summer or whether the championship is in the summer, whenever, whatever, like the way I think we are set now is over the next 9 weeks, if we are to be successful and get to an FBD final and a league final, I think we're looking at 11 games in 13 or 14 weeks. So that would be brilliant if we can manage to get to both finals. But obviously, there's a lot of hard work in between. But you just, as a player, you like to play games. I mean, training, you can only do so much in training. It's games, really, where you want to learn, I suppose, and improve, and obviously get the win too, do you know?
Like, Mark, we saw with Donegal the last few days, Declan Bonner saying, we can't even feel a team in this McKenna Cup semi-final at the weekend. Do you feel a stress, a congestion there with fixtures and that kind of thing in Cork, or is it a case like, Conor, let's get as many games as possible under our belts?
Yeah, obviously it is great playing games, but I suppose there's a lot of competitions being played at the same time of year at the moment. You know, you have the under 20 All Ireland, Sigerson, Fresher, and Allianz League all being thrown in, you know, early February, all starting at the same time. So, you know, it's probably difficult at the moment, and especially for younger lads, they're probably caught between two stools a lot of the time. You know, they're, you know, chopping and changing between teams. But as Conor said, it is games you want to be playing. You know, we've probably put down a couple of months of pre-season now, and, you know, you're really looking forward to the matches starting, so you can't really complain when they come around.
You kind of came onto the panel, Mark, around 2011, just after the All-Ireland win. What has changed in the intervening period in those 9 years regarding even preparation?
Yeah, I suppose coming into the panel in 2011, I was very lucky. It was just after an All-Ireland winning team, so it was a very professional setup even then. You had great leaders in the likes of Graham Canty, Noel O'Leary, Daniel Goulding, you know, Donegh O'Connor. These were serious professionals in everything they did, and, you know, I suppose the way the game has gone over the last few years, standards of, you know, people are even trying to improve these standards. But, you know, as I said, that time it was very professional even back then. So, you know, there hasn't been a massive difference in over the 10 years.
You a Douglas man?
Douglas man, yeah.
We will add in Colin Buhig is from Douglas as well in the office here. And Adam Ida is going to be playing on Saturday for an Irish, probably against Manchester United in the Premier League, if he gets, well, he should be getting his break given the way he played it against in the FA Cup against. You knew him, you had an encounter with Adam Ida as a young lad.
Yeah, I came across him. I was coaching a summer camp in Douglas at the time, and Adam was one of the young lads involved. And even from an early stage, you could see what a serious athlete he was.
Was he a handy Gaelic footballer?
Yeah, he was a very handy Gaelic footballer and hurler. He was a very impressive athlete at that time. You know, you were doing sprint races and stuff in those camps just to keep him occupied. And, you know, he was winning them by a mile. He was, straight away, you could see that he was a serious athlete, and what he's achieved already is pretty impressive.
You're not surprised then?
No, not surprised. Not
I think
surprised.
Mark's taking a bit of credit, actually.
Yeah.
You want the royalties.
Thanks for getting that story in, John.
You want the royalties. Republic of Ireland, record goal scorer, Adam Ida. Well, it all started in Douglas with Mark. When you see young lads, like, how would you kind of, like, even coach a young lad at a summer school? Would you say, look, would you be all kind of all about motivation and encouragement? Because I'm sure at that age, it's all about them feeling great about themselves.
Yeah, the big thing at a young age is just that they enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, you have so many different personalities. It's very hard to keep them all happy. So that is the big thing when you have, like, 20 young lads of the age of 9 or 10, just trying to keep them happy is the main thing, really.
Now, you guys both went to UCC, but you never the twain shall meet until you get into the off-the-ball studio on a Saturday here on the second week of January 2020. But you both played in Sigerson.
Yeah, we would have. Mark would have been, I would have been coming on as a fresher when Mark actually won a Sigerson. So I think it was a three-day weekend back then, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose I would have been watching them. I think freshers, I'm not sure his rule's still there, but back in my day anyway, as a fresher, you couldn't play Sigerson. Not that I would have made a team or anything, but... No, the lads had an unbelievable team that year, and Mark had a fantastic year. And funnily enough, a few years later, for my first Sigerson final, Mark was actually with DIT, and they hammered us in the final. So
All right. That
was my first encounter with Mark on the field. So,
but you're both forwards; you weren't marking each other.
Yeah.
How serious was that taken at the time, the Sigerson?
So Sigerson,
like, kind of outside the loop, the Sigerson Cup. They're just seeing these fixtures and these matches and these universities playing each other. How much time does it take? How big a deal is it? Well, you, Billy Morgan, there involved.
Yeah.
So Sigerson in UCC would be taken very seriously with anything Billy Morgan does. He's going to be successful because he's such an inspiring character, I suppose. I suppose, look, third level, even education, is such a big part of your life that you have to take it seriously. And I suppose if you are playing Gaelic football or hurling with the Fitzgibbon Cup, inevitably, I think you are going to take it serious. So my time in UCC anyway, the Sigerson was priority of Gaelic football calendar, really, in January and February. You wanted to get to Sigerson weekend.
What was the books? What were you doing back then?
So I was doing social science as my undergrad, and then I did a master's in information systems for business performance. So.
Very good. And yourself, Mark, a bit of the numbers.
Yeah, I did arts in UCC. I kind of concentrated in economics, and then when I came to Dublin, I did accounting. So my father has his own practice at home, so that's got roped in with him. So
intercounty footballers with Cork and Roscommon. How do you manage to? Do you need a PA, a diarist, or anything to manage your work-life balance? How does that work?
Yeah, I suppose as I mentioned there, I'm probably in a lucky enough situation.
Yeah.
You know, with my dad being my boss, so he's pretty good to me at times. As you can see, you can get off during the week and everything. So you know, it is tough at times because it is probably your life probably revolves around it for when you're in there the intercounty season, but it's probably well worthwhile.
And yourself, Connor?
Yeah, so I suppose I'm working in Cork and Shannon with Core Systems, and lucky enough, like Mark, my boss, the CEO, is heavily involved in Club Rossi, so he'd be very passionate Roscommon supporter. So he understands, you know, the challenges that we have through the year with training and all that. But in the off-season, all right, or if you have days where you're not training and you need to make up a few more hours, maybe you haven't given in during the week because of training, but definitely it's something that you can achieve, just a bit of planning really, to be honest.
What's the kind of prescription now for the body, diet and weights? Has it changed, Mark, in the last few years? What you eat, how you train?
Yeah, the big thing that I've seen coming over the last few years is you've probably designated nutritionists
In the camp,
yeah. We actually have Johnny Holland working with us below in Cork at the moment.
He would be a Munster rugby player.
He's a big bonus to the camp. He's very, you know, a huge experience and knows his stuff. So that is one difference I've seen over the years. Strength and conditioning, you know, we had Aidan O'Connell when I first came on the Cork panel. He's actually in as the high performance manager in Cork now. And we have Kevin Smith as our strength and conditioning coach. He was with Stade Français in France for 7 or 8 years. So he is world of experience as well. So it's great to work with people like this.
Is it very regimented what you eat every week?
Yeah, lucky enough, I find it very hard to put on weight anyway, so I wouldn't be one of the ones who has to watch it too much. But, you know, we get unbelievable advice on it now and what you should be eating. And, like, even the way we're looked after now, you're fed after every training session and, you know, you're really well looked after. You don't have to try too hard to get it right.
Connor, there's an ESRI report that's come out with four main points in it. A huge proportion of intercounty footballers and hurlers are taking a variety of supplements. Intercounty GA players are above average in terms of third level education. Players are not getting great enjoyment out of playing intercounty. And over 90% of intercounty players binge drink in the off season. Do you think that's accurate?
I suppose I can only speak from a personal point of view. But do
players, because it's so regimented and it's so serious and it's almost professional in an amateur sphere, do people just let off steam naturally?
Yeah, I suppose, look, everybody's different. These reports sometimes are maybe taken in different contexts that, you know, if there's a wedding or something on that it's not actually binge drinking. But, I suppose everybody's different. And if you like a few drinks or how you deal with your body in the off-season, I mean, that's your own decision, really.
Is there a degree of maturity with Ronan McCarthy and Anthony Cunningham about, like, lads, look, when you're in camp, you're in camp, and we regulate when you can have a drink and relax?
Oh, yeah, there would 100%, be.
They're trusted you to be adults.
Yeah, there's no such thing, like, as curfews a drinking ban. It's up to yourself, but, you know, you probably know at this stage that when it's the right time to let loose and
when it isn't.
Anthony, being a former player too, like, I mean, he understands what we're going through on a weekly basis and the amount of time that we put into the game and things like that. So there is an understanding there, I think, from managers to players really about all that stuff.
We were speaking to Killian Clark from Cavan during the week about, you know, maybe opting out, stepping aside, whatever way you want to put it. So some of the quotes we're going to say here. I did a week's training to kind of test the waters to see if the hunger was still there. He noted it was an initial intention to pick up where he left off in 2019, but it just wasn't. So I said I'd just step away. I don't know what you'd say to it, but I just fell out of love with the game a bit for a tough few defeats we took at the latter end of last year with those gym sessions, training sessions late in the evenings, a lot of travelling. You kind of think to yourself, why are you doing this? Why do I need to? On the road about 9 years at Cavan, I just couldn't get my head around going through the process again and having nothing to show for it. That's not good enough attitude to bring to Cavan football. I wouldn't have accepted it of a lot of players over the years I was involved, so it would have been hypocritical of me to stay on it. Refreshing honesty from Killian. Just some of the players, people have lives, they move on, it's life, yeah? We had Oran McNeillis leaving Donegal, Sean Quigley from Fermanagh, I'm just like going through some of the names here, Peter Cook, Danny Cummins travelling with Galway, Gary Brennan from Clare, Leinster players, Donny and Paul Kingston not being opting out of Laois, they could be coming back. Look, it's the way it is. We should be reading too much into this stuff, or is it, do you guys, like, you know, tough moments, think to yourselves, is it worth this? Or is it more, look, here's the ball here, I love what I'm doing here, and I'm never in a second stat.
Yeah, I think certainly with different individuals that we all have career aspirations, we have sporting aspirations, but I think like a lot of young people playing the game, probably the average age between 20 and 30 maybe, and like that's a window of opportunity to get a bit of travelling done before you, I suppose, you're in a role where maybe you can't get away for a summer or for a year and get your travelling done. So I think maybe sometimes it might be easier for counties who are, I suppose, there at the business end of the year every year. That might make it a bit more easier for them. But at the end of the day, like, people want to travel. Do you know, you want to go travelling. I was lucky enough, I've done my bit of travelling, but I'd never hold it against anyone who wants to take a year out or a bit of time maybe for a bit of travelling or whatever they decide to do.
Are you surprised by the amount of players that are deciding, I'm on the fence here about this being worthwhile?
Yeah, I'm not really overly surprised, to be honest with you, John, because, you know, it is a massive commitment.
Yeah.
There's no getting away from that. It kind of, you know, for 7 or 8 months of the year, your life probably revolves around it. For me personally, since I can remember, I wanted to play for Cork, and that was a dream of mine. So, you know, it's always a great honour to be able to represent your county and play with Cork. So, you know, personally, I never made that decision. I came onto the panel at 22, and Cork had just won the All-Ireland, and, you know, I thought that Cork were probably very close to winning another one. I never got to go to America, or never made that decision to go away, but personally I would never regret it. You know, I loved any one of the years that I was in there, so no regrets anyway.
How did you get on with the GPA, lads? Does it work well, the relationship with the GPA? Do they represent you well as players?
Yeah, I'm the GPA rep in Cork, so I'd have a good enough relationship with them, and to be honest with you, I think they do an awful lot for us and would be quite vocal in the encouragement for them.
Is pay for pay coming in GA in the next decade, lads, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I suppose like the game is changing. It is evolving, so does new things need to come with that? I don't know, but I suppose myself and Mark, we just have to focus on what's happening on the field, really, do you know?
Yeah, like what's happening on the field is the league, right? So we have Cavan, Clare, Westmeath, Laois, Kildare, Fermanagh and Armagh. That's with yourself, Conor, in Division 2.
Hugely competitive there.
Hugely competitive. Do you really feel that playing in the Allianz Leagues really kind of sets you up? I've found in the recent years that you have to be doing well in the leagues to have a good championship platform.
Yeah, I think the saying really, you often hear it probably in most dressing rooms, is winning is a habit. And it is true, like, because if you're getting over the line in games, you know, it does stick with you really in the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes of a big championship game, that we've kind of been in a situation like this before, and we know how to get out of it with the win. But yeah, look, all them games are competitive. As I said, there seems always a kick of a ball in Division 2 from getting relegated to getting promoted, so it's a tough few weeks ahead for us.
Down, Derry, Tipperary, Louth, Offaly, Longford and Leitrim, Mark.
Yeah, again, an awful lot of tough games in a way of... We're playing Leitrim, Longford, Tipperary away. There'll be no easy game there. You have a couple of the Northern teams at home. You've Offaly in your first game as well. John Mahan in there. They seem to be going well in the Auburn Cup. So, you know, we know if we're not tuned in or really focused for those games, you know, we'll get a rude awakening. So, like, we'll really concentrate on that Offaly game on the 25th of January, and looking forward to getting started and hopefully getting off to a good beginning.
How's Keane O'Neill getting on? He's had great success in backroom teams with All-Ireland winning teams.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant to have him involved. He's huge experience. You know, he's worked probably at inter-county level for over 10 years with top of the table teams, you know, so great to have him involved. He's hugely enthusiastic guy and he's been excellent to work with so far, so I'm sure he's looking forward to getting down to the business end with us as well.
In terms of interests, are you into the sports outside of, are you a soccer man, a golf man?
I would be, yeah. I tried every sport when I was growing up. I'd be a big soccer, hurling, golf, anything you name really. I'd have a big
interest. You're a bandit on the course?
I don't know about that. I try my best, but you
play. What's the handicap?
12.
That's not too bad. You play, Conor?
No, I try to. Right? I think I need to invest in them. Some special balls you get and they only go a straight line. So,
those Nike Vaporfly shoes. They make you run faster.
Exactly. No, I enjoy. Yeah, I enjoy watching rugby now. Gaelic football, obviously, hurling, soccer. Yeah, just sports in general, I suppose.
What was the adjustment like for you, Conor, moving up from Kerry to Roscommon? Did you find it difficult? I know your dad, Martin, was involved at Ara Oak. Did that kind of make it more natural for you? Because I'm sure when you're growing up, you were kind of a Rossie anyway.
Yeah, so I would have, I suppose, since a young age, Dad was always living in Roscommon, so we would have been up there maybe once a month or that, and I would have been to a fair few shot of the Roscommon games over the last number of years, definitely. And I suppose the first time I was driving down to training, I was probably a small bit apprehensive about the whole thing, I suppose. But no, since I went into the dressing room, it's been seamless enough. Like, the lads are very, very nice fellas, getting on very well with them. And the county board, everyone working there too, they've been very helpful to me. So couldn't thank them enough, to be honest.
You haven't looked back. Did you feel in any way personally it's something to prove or not?
No, not really, to be honest. Yeah. I just since from a young age, I just enjoyed playing football. I love when it's competitive and games are of a high standard and they're tight. So, I mean, when Anthony called, really, I think I would have been foolish to say no to that opportunity.
Did you find it strange watching Kerry in the All-Ireland against the Dubs?
I was actually at both games. I went up to them and I was supporting them. I was hoping they could over the line, but unfortunately they didn't. But I think over the next few years, Kerry will be there, thereabouts every year. They're very strong.
How did Dublin get stopped?
Oh, it's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Tough question. They're a serious outfit, to be fair to them. Yeah.
What happened in that game? I remember Luke scored an early goal in Croke Park in that Super 8s game, and I'm thinking Cork have really started well here, and then in the second half the gap just got wider and wider and wider. What is it like when you're out on the pitch?
We were probably with them with maybe 15-20 minutes to go, and you know, you think you're in with a chance. I just thought the big thing that I came across in those games was, you know, especially in the three Super 8 games we played, you're really punished for the small mistakes you make, whether it's ball watching or, you know, switching off for a couple of seconds. Dublin will have a goal against you, you know. Like, they really, really punish you for those little errors you make that you might get away with, you know, earlier on in the year. So, like, they're just a serious outfit and they never seem to take the foot off the gas.
Your experience, Conor?
Yeah. Again, we would have played them in the league and championship last year. The league, we would have felt that we were thereabouts. I think it was a draw at half-time, going well. Then they just click into another gear. Just the experience they have from playing all the big games, and I suppose the players they have too, they're extremely talented players. Like, I would have played against a good few of them in Sigerson Cup and that too, and it's just, they're just have a specific bunch now that are just very, very good players, and it's up to the rest of us to catch up, really, I suppose.
In no way are we saying that Desi Farrell won't be a great appointment. He's like a minor under 21 winning manager. But naturally, after you win five in a row, you make history, your manager leaves. Can't you psychologically feel that with maybe some players moving on in Dublin, that you do have a bit of a better chance now?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, to be honest with you. You know, I suppose the players themselves would probably look at it and say they have something, you know, probably another point to prove now that Jim wasn't the be-all and end-all for the effort for them. So they probably have that in the back of their mind. You know, we can only get our... Both of us, anyway, can only get our own show on the road. You know, our own look at our own selves and our own teams, and you know, we can't really decide what Dublin are going to be like this year.
Speaking of Dublin, Jack McCaffrey was in these studios during the week with Joe Molloy, speaking about Jim, about Desi, about everything else. Let's play a clip of what Jack had to say about the advanced mark, this new rule.
So, I mean, look, with a view to 2020, the attacking mark's coming in. And I know you were very critical of that when it was first announced. Have you softened in that stance, or are you dreading this as much as ever?
No, I do think it's terrible, but I suppose I've probably resolved that I should at least see it before continue to...
But your fear, sorry, I should have said, for people who didn't see your initial comments, was effectively this is just increasing the likelihood of a stop-start game, which is the antithesis of what we want.
Yeah, and I think, you know, since I've been involved with inter-county football, there have been a number of rule changes, and they've been kind of like where the kick-out is taken from, there's the black card, there has been the midfield mark. I don't think any of them kind of intrinsically changed the way football is played, to be honest. And I think this has the potential to, a little bit. Again, I've decided I will sit on my hands a bit until it either works or it doesn't, because I'm sure people laboured over it long and hard and lost sleep over whether it was a good idea. And I'm just coming in kind of with my instincts. But I don't know, I presume it's been brought in to counter a very defensive football, which I don't think we're seeing as much of anymore.
No.
And also, I think if you kind of logically work through this, it could actually have the exact opposite effect, in that you now have to mark a defend, you have to mark a forward in a way that he cannot catch the ball clean, but you cannot overcommit because he'll turn you and score a goal. So probably the logical thing to do is to put someone in front of him and someone behind him. So,
Mark Collins, your centre forward, you're known as a very good kick passer. Does the introduction of the advanced mark appeal to you?
To be perfectly honest with you, John, you know, I don't think it's going to make a massive amount of difference. I've seen, you know, we've played a couple of matches in the McGrath Cup and a couple of challenge matches so far this year, and, you know, it hasn't really made a massive difference. Maybe there's been one or two in every one of those games, you know, not a huge amount of numbers. And maybe as the year goes on, when conditions are a bit better and the ball travels a bit further, that it might make a bigger difference. But at the moment, I'm not really seeing a huge difference in those games we have played anyway.
Is it going to be tougher maybe for defenders?
Yeah, I think like what Jack said there, right, that the defender is kind of caught in two minds, whether does he want you to take the mark or does he want to get a hand in and maybe be at risk of us turning and going toward goal. So, yeah, I suppose, look, it's something I personally hope that it just encourages the foot pass. But I can see where Jack's coming from too, from a defender's point of view.
The general rule changes. The black card seems to have kind of just disappeared, hasn't it? Did you feel that the black card was effective?
Yeah, I actually think that's a good change, bringing in the symbol
for
that.
10 minutes, yeah. With no replacement.
Yeah, like I think, you know, the black card was supposed to be for a cynical foul, but you could make a silly mistake after 5 minutes of a huge game for you and be sent off. It happened in an Ireland club final, I think, when it first came out, one of the Castlebar lads.
That's right, very early on.
Very early. And like probably the biggest match he'd ever play, you know, destroyed it for him. And, you know, the black card or the sin bin is probably a good punishment now as well. You know, the opposition are down a man for that 10 minutes. So I think it works better anyway.
We've talked about the advanced mark. Let's talk about AFL. Ty Kennelly of Kerry and Sydney Swans fame, of course, won the championship in 2005. He was on Off the Ball AM this week defending the AFL clubs. He says Colin McShane should be available to Tyrone this season, even if his long-term future is in Australia.
When it is an all-star player getting an opportunity, obviously there's going to be a lot of media publicity about it. And the other fact that we call is AFL list lodgements. I'm an assistant coach of the Swans now at the minute. AFL list or lists, which is basically your playing list, that final list has been lodged for the 2020 season, so he can't play this year. So he'll be playing with Tyrone in the championship this year. He can come out in July if he does get a mid-season draft, which is highly unlikely for an international player. Generally, a mid-season draft in the AFL is for a club that's had a number of injuries in a position where they can actually go to a lower league, like the VFL or the Waffle in Western Australia, whatever, and pick up a player and put him straight onto the list so they can fill a spot where they've had injuries during the season. So he can't play this season. So he'll be playing for Tyrone in the Championship.
Can you just clarify that? Cause I don't think anybody realised that. I think that everybody assumed that this would happen straight away. He can't go. Could he go out on a developmental contract and not play and, like, play second tier? Or is there...
He can't, no. If he's going to be on the list... And if he doesn't play, if he's not on the list and he plays with a second tier team, he doesn't qualify as an international rookie, which means he's got to go into the draft next year. So he can't play AFL this year unless, like I said, he gets into a mid-season draft in the middle of the year, which is highly unlikely for an international player. And that's in July.
I'm thinking to myself here, Colin McShane is following his dream. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a personal decision, and you know, you couldn't blame him for that. He wants to be a professional sportsman, so you couldn't hold anything against him for that. You know, I would see absolutely nothing wrong in it. If a guy gets a chance to be a professional sportsman, then all the best to him. We have Kieran Sheehan with us. He's back this year.
Yeah. How has he, you know, returned to the fold? Does he look different physically? Does he, you know... He doesn't have an Aussie accent, does he?
No. He brought a Cork girl with him. So,
good man.
So he brought her home as well and married now. So, no, to be honest with you, he's fitted in brilliantly since he came back. You know, a great fella to have around. And, you know, you can even see, like, the professionalism since he came back. Like, he's excellent with the younger lads and stuff on the panel now. So it is a big bonus to us, to be honest.
And Roscommon, you don't... I don't think players would have any issue with the Colin McShanes and all these players trying to follow their dream down under.
No. I'd echo Mark's sentiments there too. Like, it's an unbelievable opportunity for Cahill to go for ultimately his decision. He had a fantastic year last year, All-Star full forward. So best of luck to him, really. That's the way I'd look at it anyway.
When you were growing up, who were your heroes in Gaelic football? Who did you kind of, you know, model yourself on? Was it nippy inside forwards? Was it, you know, salmon leap winning midfielders? Who were your kind of heroes growing up? What were your kind of first memories of Gaelic football?
So I was lucky enough. I played with my club team growing when I was young. The senior team were doing very well at the time. And Noel Kennelly, he actually won an All-Ireland in 2000 with Kerry. And he had a few injuries for them years after that, I suppose. He didn't see as much game time as he'd like, but definitely I would have seen him as a big hero of mine growing up. I would have learned an awful lot from him. So, yeah, Noel Kennelly really would be the one person that I'd think back of that would have had a big bearing on my career just from watching him play.
There were two great finals against Galway. Did you go up?
I didn't know what age I would have been, maybe six back then, so I didn't make it up for whatever reason. Maybe Dad wouldn't pay for the tickets for a Kerry game, I don't know.
1980 is still causing a lot of scars, Roscommon Kerry, that All-Ireland final.
Big time, yeah, I often hear about it. What might have happened.
Might have been what might have an early goal,
yeah. Yeah. But Aaron, look, the Roscommon fans are still very positive that hopefully someday that a team can get back there again.
1943 and 44, I don't know if that's mentioned that much, the All-Ireland wins for Roscommon during the war, during the emergency.
Yeah.
But they've had a lot of close runs. I remember the early 90s, they did very well. You have a lot of iconic success, Donegal Shine and that. Sometimes it's just about getting, I remember with Dublin in 2011, it's about just getting to the final. And maybe for Cork and Roscommon this year, it's getting to the semi-finals and seeing what happens because things do change.
Yeah, you know, that's, as I said, we made the Super 8s last year and didn't win any of the games in the Super 8, so really looking to improve on that this year. You know, it was unbelievable playing in those big games in Croke Park. You know, we had Dublin and Tyrone in Croke Park, two huge matches, and, you know, they're the matches you really want to play in. So it would be a big game to get back to that stage this year and maybe equip ourselves a little bit better.
Would you have been kind of reared on the Larry Tompkins diet and the manager in the late 90s and the...
Larry and Niall Callaghan would have been huge in our household, being Castlehaven.
Yeah,
you know, Larry was a hero with our family back home, and you know he still is. They worship him below there. So, you know, I remember being out in the back garden pretending I was him kicking frees over the bar or whatever. So he was a big hero when I was young. All right.
So for the Allianz Leagues now, what's the kind of routine? I know, do you always have the same because you're travelling, you're playing games, let's say, the Hyde, or you're going, is it like you meet on the bus on the Sunday morning, or do things change for the championship? Are you kind of set into routine for the whole year?
Yeah, we'd be fairly in routine. We'd have our designated collection spots for an away game. And then I suppose for a home game, we'd meet in the Abbey Hotel, get a bite to eat, do a bit of prehab up there, and head our way down to the Hyde then. So that would really be, it would even be for FBD games, to be honest, even challenge games that you'd have, just kind of stick to the same routine and hopefully try and master it throughout the year.
Do you feel like you're getting noticed now in the street, Conor, after last year's heroics?
Not really, to be honest. No. I try to keep a low profile and go about my business quietly. But yeah, look, the Roscommon people are very passionate about football. So definitely right, you'd have supporters coming up and, you know, wanting to talk about... is he there this year? Is he not there this year? But just like every other county, I suppose, it's great that they are interested, I suppose.
Is it tribal?
Yeah, they are. No, they're a great bunch. And yeah, long may I continue with them.
Is the Kerry thing still, you know, a tribal thing? I know there's back doors and you get second chances and all that, but it's still raw at times.
I think the Munster final showed that this year. You know, when it got to the business end of the game, the Cork support really got behind us. You know, there wasn't a massive crowd there in Páirceachaoimh that day, but yet the noise with 10 minutes to go was electric. It was like the place was full. So I think when it matters, and if, you know, we can put it up to Kerry, that it really is still very important to the Cork public.
What's the new Páirceachaimh like?
The stadium is top notch, and I think they've made a brilliant job of the pitch over the winter. So hopefully come the Offaly game now in the 25th, that'll be ready for road, and you know it should really, really do the place justice.
Have you read the double yet? I was reading it there recently.
No, I haven't.
1990 Cork hurling and football.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Dream. No pressure. Dream on. Well, Conor Cox and Mark Collins, delighted to have you in. Here is the ball. The Allianz Football League starts at the end of the month and it'll run until March, and hopefully Roscommon and Cork will be there or thereabouts, both in the leagues in Division 2 and Division 3, and then in the All-Ireland Championship. Lads, it's going to be a great year, isn't it?
Looking forward to it now.
Yeah, really can't wait to knuckle down into the games. Really looking forward to it.
Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.